morning, and happy Mother's Day. First, I want to share with you this morning a card that I received, but I didn't get to receive the card. This is to all the mothers of Faith Church, and let me just read it to you. It's a Mother's Day prayer for you. May you have all the joy your heart can hold, all the smiles a day can bring, all the blessings a life can unfold. May you have God's best in everything. Have a wonderful day. Happy Mother's Day. That's from Daryl Sanders right here within our church. And I'll share that back on the Mother's Day table here in the back. Moms, we are so glad that you're here joining us this morning, fighting our way through the rain, because we do. We truly want to spend some time to give thanks and honor the mothers in our church. And so, yes, that staff meeting might have been just a little bit silly, but it doesn't change our heart. And I echo what Pastor Byers was saying. Mother's Day's traditions across our families can span a wide range. Did you wake up this morning early, prepare breakfast for your mom in bed, get yourself dressed for church on your own, clean up your room and get everything ready so you could get to church? Or did you say, hey, Mom, we're running a little late. Can we just go through McDonald's and get a McMuffin? Well, it might be one of that and I need scream. But it also might be that your mom is miles away and today may only hold a phone call with your mother. And for some of us, as David talked about a little, Mother's Day might be a little bit harder. Maybe this is the first year or a year continuing where you're spending Mother's Day without her. Sadly, for some of us, Mother's Day is not even a day of celebration. It's possible that you and your husband are experiencing a time where you're unable to have children of your own, and there's just an unfulfilled desire deep in your heart for children. Or for others yet, maybe your memories of your mother are not filled with joy, but rather sorrow, possibly caused by pain or hurt. But regardless of how we started today thinking about Mother's Day, we can give thanks. We give thanks for the love we received or we desired from our earthly mothers, because we know that that is simply a small reflection of a far greater love that abounds from our Heavenly Father, and that His love for us has been shown to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So today, we want to take a look at all of this, and we want to give a good look at what is about mothers and Mother's Day. Now, let me ask you this. There are a lot of words that we hear from mothers, but some of them would be quite unexpected. Have you ever heard your mother say, "How on earth can you see the TV from that far back? I want you to move closer." Or, "Let me smell that shirt. Oh, it's fine. That'll be good for another week." Or maybe, "Honey, I don't have a tissue. Go ahead. Just use your sleeve." Or maybe, "Oops, your dinner fell on the floor. Go ahead. Just make sure you get that before the dogs eat it." Those are all pretty ridiculous, right? Unexpected words from your mothers. But now listen to that last one in just a little different way. "Even the dogs feed on the crumbs from the master's table." And we need to listen to that and choose to look at it in the context of a mother pleading to Jesus Christ for her daughter. So today we're going to step out of the Gospel of John to an event recorded only in Mark and Matthew. Now, based on a harmony of the Gospels, what we would find is this event actually fits very well in the timeline where we have been studying through the Gospel of John. John 7:1 said, "After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea, because the Jews were seeking to kill him." Today's passage will begin Matthew 15:21. "Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon." You see, Jesus and his disciples again moved away from the predominantly Jewish territories towards the Gentile regions for the purpose that Jesus was continuing to teach and prepare his disciples. He was preparing them for what was to come because they still did not fully understand his purpose or the purpose of his ministry. In fact, when we look at Mark's parallel account, Mark 7:24 says, "Jesus got up and went away to the region of Tyre, and when he entered in a house, he wanted no one to know of it." yet he could not escape notice. You see, the purpose of his trip was about his disciples and what they still needed to learn. And so when you and I look at this passage, it's interesting because we might find the words of the mother, and particularly the words of Jesus, to be difficult to understand. You may even find it in some ways offensive. But we can recall from a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Vyer's sermon, recalling the truth that we learned about wrestling with a life-giving message, especially when that message is hard, that we can choose not to grumble, not to argue, so that we don't stumble over a lie, or worse yet, that we walk away from the truth because the message we heard, that we didn't like it because it challenges the way that we're thinking. Today's passage is one that if we don't slow down, if we don't slow down to understand, we might misinterpret the words of Christ. We might even consider those words to be cruel. But instead, today, we get to see the blessings that are going to come from a mother's example of faith because she didn't allow her feelings to misinterpret Jesus' words, but rather she responded in faith. So today, I want us to learn from a mother's great faith as we seek to enjoy life in his name. And so I'm going to ask that you would open your Bibles to read with me today. Our passage is not long, and so I want us to focus on God's Word. So if you're using the Bible from the chairs in front of you, that'll be in page 13 in the back section of the Bible. And yes, the New Testament restarted the numbering, so page 13 is in the back. But if you're using your own copy or if you're opening up an app on your phone, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 21. And now we've got that moment. Speaking of phones, can we give thanks that God gives us the blessing that we can carry his word with us every moment of the day? We need to be thankful for that. So I just want to give to you, there are three apps that I would recommend. There are many out there, but if you just want a good app just for reading the Bible and being able to see it in many translations or being able to listen to it, Bible Gateway. It's wonderful. If you'd like one that helps guide us through reading plans and devotionals, consider an app called YouVersion. Or if you're challenged, like many of us are, when we say, you know, I want to learn and I want to memorize God's word, but I just don't know how to do that, consider an app called Scripture Typer. Any of those are wonderful. Now, I know there are many others as well, and you may have your favorites already, but those are just a few to consider. All right, back to Matthew 15. Join me, starting at verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord. But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. So with the time we have today, I want us to look at a mother's great faith in order that we might find three qualities of great faith from a mother's example. So the first quality that we can observe of this mother is that she comes to Christ in need. When we look at moms today, when does mom ever get to be seen as the one who has needs? Quite the opposite. Mom's the first one that we all go to when we have needs, right? "Mom, what's for dinner? Mom, did you wash my gym uniform? Mom, will you print out my homework while you're at it? Can you check my spelling and make it look good for the teacher too? We're all quick to look to mom as the answer to our problems, right? And the source to meet all of our needs. But what happens when the problem becomes too big for mom? What happens when the concern is too great for even the great multitasking mom machine? What happens when mom can't just reach into her bag of tricks and make the problem go away? We're all talking. We're talking about a situation where mom is now the one in need. We see a mom here who has reached this place in our passage. But to understand her fully, we need to understand the context of the event that we're witnessing through God's word. You see, our story is about a mother in need and her approach to a Savior. But we also need to consider how this word would have been read by readers 2,000 years ago. You see, Matthew's primary audience for his gospel was the Jews. And as Matthew sought to show them that Jesus is the promised Messiah, but it also means that there are some things that we wouldn't even blink at, or that they would not even have blinked at, that might cause someone to be shocked. For example, Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. You see, in our study of John, we've seen the opposition growing. We've seen the threat to Jesus developing, but it was not his time yet. So Jesus withdrew with his disciples. And yet, even in Tyre and Sidon, Mark tells us he could not escape the notice of others. But was it the Jews that followed him out of their own homes and into the region of Tyre and Sidon? No. You see, in verse 22, it shows that it was a Canaanite woman who came out. And she was crying out. Her daughter was cruelly demon-possessed. The need had become too great for the mother to handle on her own. Where do you go when your needs grow to the point that you finally recognize you can't handle something on your own? Some of us, well, we just go to our moms, right? But others, do you go seek the advice of others on social media? Do you just Google it and allow the myriad of opinions with factors and circumstances that don't even apply to you now impact how you're thinking about a situation? Or maybe we turn to something just to push the need away. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's food. Alcohol, drugs. We do that just so the need doesn't feel big anymore. The mother in our passage today, she didn't have a demon possession life hack that she could just pick up off of Pinterest. Nothing was going to solve her problem until, you see, those solutions that we would look to, they don't meet the real need. They simply cover it up or allow us to maybe ignore it for a short time. But the mother's example that we see today acknowledges that Christ is the only one who can meet our greatest need. And so great faith comes to Christ in need acknowledges our need for mercy. Here we observed what the need is, causing her to cry out. Her daughter, cruelly demon-possessed. And this woman is a Canaanite, a Gentile, just like you and me. And yet she demonstrates great faith and puts her hope and confidence in the Lord Jesus, the Son of David. She knows that her daughter needs spiritual help, and the false gods of the Canaanites cannot help her. Scripture doesn't talk about this, but I imagine that she likely tried praying to the gods and the idols of the Canaanites. But from there was no response. There was no mercy received, no comfort from the local idols. And this woman then sees that her need can only be met through Jesus. We should ask ourselves, who is the first person that we turn to when we have a need? Who's your go-to? Who's your go-to person? What's your go-to website when you're looking for wisdom? See, there can be long lists of things and people that we walk through before we ever get to the point that says, well, I'll try Jesus now. It might be like that old comfy sweater that's just folded up in your closet, and finally it gets cold enough that you'll pull it out and put it on. and then just a little bit, but then everything gets better, so you fold it up and put it back away again because, you know, it's just not fashionable to be seen in your Jesus sweatshirt. You see, we can be pretty stubborn and independent, can't we? But what we really are doing in that time frame is we are forgetting our neediness for Christ. The example of our mother in today's passage is that she is acknowledging her need for mercy, and she acknowledges that she can only go to trust the Lord with her greatest concern. You see, it's hard to think of circumstances where about our children like this. Consider the mother of a newborn who she's told that her newborn baby has to stay in the NICU because they're sick, and she can't even hold her new child. Or on the other end of parenthood, think about parents who are watching a son or daughter walking down a path of destruction, and they feel like there's nothing that they can do. When we fear losing someone that we love deeply, as this mother did, it's easy for our godly love and concern to move into sinful worry and fear. Think about for this mother. Imagine the concerns she might have had over her daughter. Did I do something wrong? Did I offend the gods? How can I go on with my daughter like this? She won't be able to find a husband. Who will help her? Who will care for her? There's no hope. What should I do? Not only would there be concern for her daughter, but what about the impact of the eyes watching her family? Did she feel judged and condemned? Feel isolated even from those she might seek for comfort? How can I hide in this world? But this mother, the example of great faith, whatever her greatest concerns were, she did not hide them. In fact, she trusted Jesus as Lord, as the Son of David, so that she brought her greatest concern right out into the public square, and she came and began to cry out to Jesus, asking for mercy. She brought her needs to the Lord. Do you bring your greatest needs before the Lord? Are we crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My child is sick. We've sought out the doctors. We don't know what to do." Are we crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. I am so easily tempted to respond sinfully to my spouse, and only you can take away the anger and bitterness from my heart." Are we entrusting our greatest needs to Jesus Christ only? And what motivates you to ask for Christ for the mercy and the grace that we each need, like this woman? Scripture gives us the answer to that, of what our motivation can be. Like Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Every one of us must recognize that we are desperate for someone greater than ourselves, and we need to trust that they will love and act for our good. Do we believe, "I can trust Christ with the concerns of my child's well-being because I know that He loves my child even more than I do"? Do we believe and trust that He created and formed my child and knit them together before I even knew them, that all of their days are already written in His book, that He knows the count of every hair on their head? Then do we trust that He suffered and that He can sympathize with me? Do we trust that He is merciful and powerful in ways beyond measure, that I can draw near to Him in confidence that I may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need? That great bold faith is exactly what this mother of faith models. She comes to Jesus in a time of need, crying out to him that she might receive mercy. Even if we don't have children, even before God blessed any one of us with children, we still each need to acknowledge that our greatest issues can only be solved by coming to Jesus. Have you cried out? Have mercy on me, Jesus, because I'm a sinner and I don't know what to do. I'm lost. I cannot save myself. Because we can't. No one of us can save ourselves. I would offer, there's no greater gift you could give your mother on Mother's Day today than to choose to give and turn yourself over to Christ, that he meet your greatest need and that you choose to trust him with your greatest concerns. And so if this is you today, this morning, I encourage you, do not leave this morning without coming and talking to one of your pastors. Ask whatever questions that you have and let's walk through this. For this is our greatest need. Now, like the example of the mother in today's passage, she didn't wait. She comes to Jesus in a time of need, crying out for mercy, even in the face of obstacles. You see, her faith shows persistence. And now, that persistence would not be visible to us unless her path to Christ had some obstacles in the way. And why were they there? Because Jesus, the perfect teacher, well, he's setting up his interaction with this woman to reveal the great faith of this Gentile mother. Jesus' actions put her persistent faith on display as she overcomes obstacles and disappointments. So let's look at what they were. The first obstacle God wants us to consider, well, here, it's her ethnicity. It's her race. She didn't come from a Jewish home. She was Syrophoenician, or more rudely, a Canaanite. But this woman didn't allow her pagan background to keep her from seeking Jesus, the King of the Jews. So we ask ourselves, is your background an obstacle to your faith in Jesus Christ? Maybe you weren't raised by a Christian mother. Is that stopping you from coming to Christ? Maybe your past just looks too ugly in your own eyes. Maybe it feels too big to be accepted, to be forgiven. Is that stopping you from crying out to Christ? Think about those. Another obstacle was her location. This woman had to search for Jesus. Remember how Mark described Jesus' visit? He was seeking refuge from Jewish leaders and didn't want anyone to know where he was. Jesus was choosing to move away from the crowds. He didn't want to be noticed, but he could not escape the notice of some, specifically this mother. And then, when she did find him, she immediately faced disappointment again. Look at verse 23. But he did not answer her a word. Can you imagine? You've been searching, you've been seeking, you've been working to find, you've heard all these wonderful things about what Jesus has done for others. And then you come and you find out where he is, knowing you're approaching this man whose mercy is like no other, you come pleading to him and his response, silence. I'd be crushed feeling that my daughter would never be saved. Have you ever felt that response from Jesus? Thought that silence was his response to you? How about a prayer when all we hear is silence? Nothing happening, nothing changes. It seems my prayers have fallen on deaf ears. Feels like the psalmist, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I have no rest. We might feel that way. And though we know it's not true, just as the psalmist cried out, we might feel this way too. But will it stop you from continuing to walk in faith? And then from there, the obstacles even got bigger. Now the disciples begin weighing in. Send her away because she keeps shouting at us. That's got to make you think, wow, how can they possibly treat this woman so badly when they've heard about her daughter? They want him to send her away. That might seem even more cruel than the demon. Well, that is one option to look at how this response looks. But there might be another. It might be something more like, send her away, Jesus. Answer her request. Give her what she wants. She'll still stop shouting at us. Based on what we've seen in the past and what the disciples have walked through and how Jesus responds, I think it's option two. The key is in looking at who Jesus is speaking to in verse 24. It says, but he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we have to ask ourselves, was he speaking to the woman, telling her why he could not help? That would have felt even worse than the silence felt. Or was he speaking to his disciples to teach them, in order to teach them a greater lesson? And based on the text, I do believe Jesus was speaking to his disciples and not the woman. Because his statement then revealed another obstacle that was before her that they might see. This obstacle before the Gentile mother is that God's plans and promises give priority to the Jews first. For centuries, God had revealed himself to Israel and through Israel. His promises had come to the patriarchs first, and yet the blessings would be to more than Israel. You see, the statement in verse 24 is not new. It's certainly not random. Earlier in Matthew, when Jesus sends out his disciples with the authority to heal and to preach about the good news of the kingdom of God, we read, he said, these 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, saying, do not go on a road to the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's also consistent with Paul's teaching in Romans, when Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. So Jesus brings up priority within his purposes and plans of God to bring salvation to the Jews first. And she overhears these words to the disciples, and she continues to come. The persistence of her faith ensures that she does not walk away. Jesus' statements draw out her heart and her response as an example of a mother's faith to teach us that we can move past obstacles as well. This mother's faith was not deterred when she heard Jesus say, only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The mother persists despite the ethnicity obstacle. She persists despite the disappointing silence, and she continues even through the hurdle of Jesus's stating the priority to the Jews. Ask yourself, are you persisting in your faith? Are you seeking Christ with a persistent faith? What are the obstacles that might be holding you back? Again, is it your background? Surely God can't or wouldn't save someone like me. Or is it a silence? God doesn't care enough to answer my prayers. Or is it a doubt creating an obstacle before you? Have you placed your faith in something here on this earth rather than in our Heavenly Father and His Son? Even the church. Have you ever placed your faith in the church and yet the people of that church hurt you? Have you ever placed your faith in a religious leader only then to watch them fall because of very public sin? It can rock our worlds and cause us to step back. Doubt becomes an obstacle because we're believing a lie. It draws us away from God. But our response to these obstacles should be the opposite. It should be to walk into it, to come back and seek the truth about who we will follow. You see, like this Canaanite woman, will we cry out to the Lord, the Son of David? Because Jesus is who the Word says He is. And when we persistently seek the truth, we'll find there is no obstacle too big for Jesus. So now, looking again at this mother's example, it's also not just about the fact that she has persistence, because she didn't just nag Jesus until he finally gave in and healed her daughter. No. Her persistence is exemplified in the beauty of how she approached Jesus. She came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Notice the humility with which she approaches Jesus. She comes and bows down while asking, "Lord, help me." She shows reverence to the Christ while boldly continuing to ask for help, despite the obstacles that she'd come through. And at this point, Jesus now speaks directly to the mother. He gives her one more test, a test that he knows she will pass. It says, and he answered, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." You see, Jesus is using this illustration that in your house, the priority goes first to the children because they depend on their parents. And it's morally right that we care for our children first, certainly before caring for the dog. Do you feed the dog at home and then neglect to care for your very own children? That could have felt offensive again. But this woman's response is amazing. Jesus had been placing these obstacles before her so that he could reveal her faith to the disciples and to me and to each of you. The mother's response, she wasn't offended by these words, thinking that she'd been called a dog. No, she humbly agreed about Jesus' mission and priority. She did not argue or complain or accuse Jesus of being unloving. She simply agreed, "Yes, Lord." She's saying to Jesus, "You're right. The children should be fed first. The Jews should receive the blessing of the Messiah first." She says, "I get it." But this woman's yes, yes, but there's more to what you're saying. You see, she replies in understanding. She acknowledges she is not being rejected. Just like a household pet is part of the household, "I'm a Gentile. I know you've given me a place in your house as well, and there is something left for me, even if it's the scraps. Just the crumbs that fall on the floor," she says, "that's enough for me." She's saying, "Lord, that's all I need. A few crumbs from you, a few scraps." Do we feel like that's enough? With Jesus, do we feel like we really need more? Hebrews 7 would tell us about Jesus. It says, "Therefore, he is also able to save forever those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." You see, this non-Jewish Gentile mother understood that Jesus coming to Tyre and Sidon, doing miracles, teaching and preaching, means that she's included in some part of Jesus' mission and ministry. And even if the priority goes to the Jews, whatever Jesus chooses to leave remaining, well, that'll be enough. That's enough for her. Now, brothers and sisters, has Jesus left us with just the crumbs, with just the leftovers? Jesus, our Messiah, came to bring salvation to the ends of the earth for all without distinction, Jew and non-Jew, can be forgiven of their sins, declared righteous by God, and restored to a right relationship with God by faith in Jesus alone. So even Gentiles, and that's you and me, Gentiles like this mother, are given the same rights and privileges as family members, as children of God, children of faith, who get to become sharers in the promises of Christ. Ephesians 3:6 tells us, to be specific, the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. We have not received just the scraps and the leftovers. Jesus gave everything for you and I. So I hope that we look at the persistence of this woman bringing her requests humbly and boldly before Christ. Will we also come boldly and confidently, regularly to our Savior with our concerns, knowing that if we have trusted personally in Jesus Christ, turning away from sin, we are children of God. We don't need to be too proud to come. We can come with confidence. Remember, it said, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, through this mother's example, we've observed how she acknowledged her need for Jesus Christ, and she came to Christ in her need. We've also observed the characteristic and nature of persistence through her humble response. And now, as we look at the final verse, we see her blessing from the Lord and the impact that this one mother will have on others. Her humble and bold response, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs. This mother has come to the Lord with a proper heart, a God-pleasing motivation. In response, Jesus now says to her, O woman, your faith is great. There are just a few examples in Scripture of people acing a test with Jesus. This is one of them. Wouldn't you love to hear those words spoken? But Jesus doesn't stop there. In responding to the great faith of this mother, Jesus responds just as he promised during the Sermon on the Mount. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. This mother, in seven short verses, has demonstrated a faith not common even amongst the nation of Israel. Now, because we are blessed to be able to celebrate the praise that she received from Jesus, your faith is great, we are also able to choose to ask God to help us to grow in these characteristics. This mother has been an example of her faith to us. And so mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters, will you choose to be an example of faith to others around you? Will you boldly cry out to the Lord when you acknowledge your need so that others will know we're not looking to the world to solve our problems? We're not looking to the world to meet our needs. We're crying out, Lord, help me. Will you walk in a persistent faith in times that this world would place obstacles before you, when the world says you're not worthy to be saved, when the world would tell you that your problem is too big for Jesus Christ? Or the world might try to ask, does God really care about you enough to deal with your little tiny problems? We're called to show persistence, a bold yet humble persistence that understands our place in the kingdom. We are not the king. We are sons and daughters of the king. And if the crumbs are sufficient for the dogs, how much greater is the blessing for those who are called to be children of God? And when we live with faith like the example of this mother, it's not just our lives. It's the lives of those we care for most around us who are blessed. O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. Will you let God bless those around you through your faith? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Lord, we are in need each and every day. And Lord, we need you. So we cry out, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to grow in our faith that we might walk through the obstacles that are placed before us. And Lord, that our example, our faith, would be seen by this world. Because Lord, just as the great faith of this mother has been used in a mighty way to change the world, I ask, Lord, that you would use our faith to be an example to those around us, Lord, to impact the lives of those we love, and Lord, to change the world, that all would come to know you and cry out, saying, Lord, Son of David, help me. Father, we need you. We love you. It's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.